Here in Illinois, our unemployment is up sharply to 9.9% for August, a fourth straight month of diminishing job prospects right here in our state. And state officials blame it on weak consumer confidence and the struggles of the national economy. But maybe some of the policies that we've adopted here in the state level could be to blame as well. To find more out about this, we've got from the Illinois Policy Institute, their Executive Vice President, Christina Rasmussen. Hi, Christina. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
So, first of all, and I know you guys are always keeping your eye on this, and you have done report after report and recommended to lawmakers here in our state what they could do to help our state thrive, and raising our taxes definitely wasn't one of them. They raised the taxes anyway, and we're losing jobs. No real surprise here, right?
There is no surprise. You're right. Back in January, the lame duck General Assembly passed a major income tax increase that hit both families and businesses hard. Governor Paquin signed that tax increase into law, and it just makes sense. Why would you want to increase the cost of living and doing business in Illinois if anything that is going to discourage people to go elsewhere to jurisdictions and states where people are not slammed with higher taxes? And the number shows increasingly bleak news. Since that tax hike passed in January, the number of employed Illinoisans has gone down by over 100,000 people. Mm. In July, the state lost the most jobs in the nation, and we heard just at the end of last week that in August, our ranks of the unemployed grew faster than any other state in the nation. So the news is trending down. It's not good, and it's a direct result of the poor policy choices that we're getting from Washington, D.C. and Springfield.
Yeah, let's talk about Washington, D.C., because, you know, the president has been touting his jobs plan. This morning he spoke again about it and introduced this whole idea of the Buffett tax. Okay, can we talk about this a little bit? Because, you know, Warren Buffett says he doesn't pay as much in taxes as his secretary, and he feels that that's unfair. I think if you just say it like that, yeah, it does seem unfair, but we're talking about two different taxes here.
That's right. We have traditionally taxed capital gains at a lower rate, at least recently, than the regular income tax bracket. Warren Buffett is a master of reducing his tax liability by taking advantage of that and other basically systems set up in place, for example, sheltering much of his wealth in foundations that are tax-free. And if he really felt that he was not paying enough in taxes, he's more than welcome to write out a check made payable of the Internal Revenue Service. Instead, he's asking the other investors, many small business and families, to pay higher taxes. And Obama, what he proposed this morning is $1.5 trillion in new taxes, part of a 10-year deficit reduction plan. He wants to spend more, he wants to tax more, and it's no surprise that businesses, and small businesses in particular, are not hiring because they're terrified of these higher burdens.
So, you know, this capital gains tax that Warren Buffett is talking about, that's at 15%. His secretary pays an income tax rate at, let's say, 35% based on what she makes.
I would say, great, let's cut that income tax rate down to 15% as well.
Oh.
Instead, he wants everybody to pay more. if he felt that was unfair, we can bring those income tax rates down, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about bringing the capital gains up. Again, we have been spending at record rates, and it hasn't been getting us anywhere, especially in regards to job growth. Let's try something new, the stunningly, I would say novel idea, at least in recent years, of making it cheaper for an employee to hire, for a business to hire an employee over the long run. And I'm not talking about a 1 or 2 year tax credit. I'm talking about long-term lower rates so that businesses have stability and know that if I hire someone, they're not going to see their rates go up again suddenly after a couple of years.
Yeah, and long-term is the key right there, and that's a big problem that I think that we're having here in the state of Illinois. You know, we had this income tax raise. and it was under the guise of being temporary. We've already heard Governor Quinn kind of toss around the idea that it wouldn't be temporary. And if our jobless numbers keep going down and we have more companies that decide to bail for Indiana or another state where the corporate tax rate there is more appealing, well, then, of course, taxes are going to go up again for us.
Yeah, policies have consequences. And when you pursue bad policy that increase the cost of living and doing work in Illinois, you know, our leaders should not be surprised when people pack up that moving van and go elsewhere to places where they're not slammed with those higher taxes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. With good policy choices, Illinois can turn its economy around. Some of those good policy ideas include getting rid of this most recent income tax hike, reforming the spending, especially those big-ticket structural items like Medicaid and pension reform that are really driving the growth in our state budget, and looking at regulatory changes as well, like workers' comp reform. And I'm talking about real workers' comp reform, not tinkering around the edges. Illinois has so many things going for it. What ails us is bad policy, and we can change that policy with better ideas and people who are willing to enact those better ideas into law. It doesn't have to be this way.
Well, when you say pension reform, you know, that gets a lot of people a little nervous. You know, I know my aunt was a dean of students for LaGrange, and, you know, she's worried about her pension because we keep hearing that that it's underfunded. What can we do about it? It seems like it's a big, huge mess, and people, you know, who are owed something or told they were going to get something should get that. You know, it just almost seems like, how do we ever get out of this?
Well, people should be worried, whether they're a state employee or a taxpayer. The fact of the matter is that we have a pension system that is horribly underfunded in this state. And so if you're an employee putting in money to these systems and you're not sure what you're going to get out of it, and if you're a taxpayer potentially exposed to the liability of bailing out bankrupt pension funds, it's very scary. And if you're someone who's concerned about education spending, for example, or health care spending by the government, well, that pension payment every year is getting bigger and it's crowding out other core government services. Mm. Again, questionable choices setting up a system that is very shaky right now. Again, it can be reformed and fixed with good policy choices. No one is talking about yanking away the pension that was already granted to someone who's retired. All the benefits earned today and all of the pension reform plans out there are guaranteed, they're safe. What they're talking about changing is benefits you earn moving forward. So when you go into work tomorrow and you're earning credit for your time being served, it changes moving forward. And that's really to make sure that we can keep the promises that have been made, but moving forward, we don't dig ourselves into that hole any deeper.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break, and would like to come back and just, and Christina, you can find Christina Rasmussen. You can learn more about what the Illinois Policy Institute is doing to try to help turn things around here for us in Illinois at illinoispolicy.org. When we come back, maybe just some bullet points, what we should be doing when we have a chance to have our state senator or state representative's ear, you know, some of the things that we should be encouraging them to do as they get back to Springfield and get back to work.
Yeah.
We'll chat with you about that next. It's 114 here at Connect FM. Now you have a choice. We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM, and money in your pocket. I think that matters to you. And as Illinois' unemployment rate keeps dropping and job opportunities are far and few in between, you know, I mean, that affects us all. And we've been talking with Christina Rasmussen. She is the Executive Vice President for Illinois Policy Institute at illinoispolicy.org about this new report that came out that shows that for the month of August, our unemployment rate shot up to 9.9%. We were already the highest unemployed state in the nation. So it's pretty sad to see that it's getting worse.
Yeah, that rate at almost 10% is pretty scary, but we have to remember this in human terms. It means that over 650,000 of our family, neighbors, friends in Illinois, 650,000 people are unemployed. They don't have a job. That might be you. It might be someone in your family. It hits close to home.
Yeah.
Things can be done to improve this situation. We were just talking about making it cheaper and less expensive to live and do business in this state. I think that the biggest strongest signal that Illinois could send to the rest of the country right now is repealing that tax hike and passing real pension reform, because it's a way to signal, to broadcast, we're open again for business, and we're going to make sure that our government liabilities don't continue to get out of hand so that taxes will have to be increased later on to pay for them. We've set up a website at repealthetaxhike.com, repealthetaxhike.com. Two simple ways for you getting involved. You can sign a petition asking the governor and legislators to repeal that tax hike. I'm down here in Springfield. We're going to be personally delivering all of those petitions to our state leaders. So it's a great way to get their attention, get in front of them without actually making the trip down to the state house. And second, you know, candidates have started to circulate their name during primary season. And there's a pledge at repealthetaxhike.com where you can ask a candidate or a sitting legislator to pledge to repeal that tax hike. Two great ways to take action. Doesn't take too much time, but could have a big impact.
Well, and I appreciate that because, you know, whenever we talk about this stuff, you know, I always get tired of people griping and whining, but then there's never, okay, so what can we do about it? Well, this makes it real easy, and I'll post the link to repeal. It's pretty easy to remember, but I'll post the link on our Facebook page to repealthetaxhike.com so you can sign the petition. Okay, let me ask you about this, though, because one thing that the president said earlier today, and we've heard him say it before, and we've heard other people say it, that we need more revenues, that we can't turn our situation around with just spending cuts. Hence the reason for, you know, tax reform, increasing taxes, making those who are doing so much better to share in this process and to have to put more money in the pot. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, right now he's talking about $3 in tax hikes for every $1 in spending cuts.
Right, which I heard him say today during his speech, though, he said 2-1.
Well, yeah, some of the spending cuts that is proposing, some people have called them phantom cuts because he's talking about spending money that we were cutting spending from spending that wasn't even likely to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is there should be far more in spending cuts than tax hikes, if tax hikes are even on the table. He has run up a record amount of government spending, government debt. You can make significant cuts, and those should be made first to show that he's really in this for good faith. You know, another thing people need to keep in mind that he's talking about temporary spending cuts for permanent tax increases. Why would anyone take that deal? Once they get the money, they're going to spend it, and you're going to have very little leverage to make sure that public sector footprint shrinks.
Yeah.
So I would not take this deal. I don't think it's a good faith effort to negotiate. It looks like political grandstanding. We deserve better. You know, if this man knows how to run up the tab, he should know how to trim it down as well.
Christina, you go, girl.
I know. Well, and I'll just say there was one thing, you know, Speaker Boehner was addressed, you know, personally in the president's speech this morning. And his response was, hey, well, why don't we try the spending cuts first, see where we are, and then if we need more revenues, okay. But let's get people working. Let's get, let's do what we can to cut the deficit. Get those things going first, and then if we need more revenues, then we can look at it.
Yeah, and what is the greatest way to take in new revenue? It's a thriving private sector, because the bigger the private sector, the more money it throws off with the same tax rate. So if you want money for the public sector, you've got an interest in getting the private sector up and humming again, and you're not going to do that with higher taxes, because that's money that they can't use to hire another employee or buy a piece of machinery or go into a new market and start advertising. I firmly believe that the businesses of this great country, the families of this great country, know how to spend their money better than government. I see what they're spending in Springfield. A lot of it is low priority spending, and quite frankly, it's hurting jobs and it's hurting people.
Well, I mean, what, $450 million went to Solyndra? I mean, and that's not Springfield, but I mean, in Washington.
Yep.
I mean,
you just
see all these big dollars going out the door. And you would think that somebody could actually take that scalpel and figure out a way to cut some spending.
They could. You know, on the state level, the Institute has released a line-by-line alternative budget every year showing how that you could balance the state's budget for that fiscal year without a tax hike. It does involve difficult decisions, but it keeps a tax hike off the backs of the working people of this state, and it's worth it in the long run because, you know, we've spent beyond our means. It's time to roll it back, but the outcomes, if it means that you or your neighbor gets that job they've been looking for so long, it's worth it.
Anybody can tap into that by tapping into illinoispolicy.org then and taking a look.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. They post them. And, you know, and what I loved about your report this year that obviously wasn't considered was that you guys were able to get us into the black without the tax increase.
Exactly. We've done it in each of the last 3 years. I was happy to see some legislators picked up on these ideas and ran with them. But we need a more wholesale approach to reducing the spending liabilities. It was pretty stunning in the budget they did pass in Springfield this past year. You know, they said they cut spending, but we looked at the details and they actually hid about $1 billion worth of extra spending. Mm-hmm. So this coming budget is going to be bigger than last year's. And this is after they told us if they got that tax increase, they'd cut spending, and that's how we'd solve our budget. Well, they got the tax increase, they spent more, and we're still in billions of dollars in debt. And it's sad. It's really sad. But the good news is that you can do something about it. You know, these legislators, they do listen when people call, when they write, when they send in petitions. I'm not giving up on them yet because I know that if we put enough pressure with good ideas, they have to start listening to them, and that's why we're involved.
All right. And repealthetaxhike.com is one place where you can go and participate. And, Christina, we want to thank you so much for the time today. Also, be sure to check out Illinois Policy Institute at illinoispolicy.org. We look forward to having you back, Christina.
Great. Thanks so much.